Welcome to Clarity Quote to Cash podcast. I'm Karina, your host today. My guest is Mitchell Clark, product manager at SAP. He has 20 years of experience in discrete manufacturing, last 6 years mostly with a focus on ML, machine learning technologies. Many of the current initiatives in digital transformation are focused on intelligent automation. AI technologies can help manufacturers optimize their production processes by introducing them to collect and analyze big amounts of data in real time. AI in supply chain can predict demand and optimize inventory levels. AI-powered sensors and monitoring solutions can help companies track their shipments. AI can also be used in predict future emissions level, allowing companies to plan and implement strategies to reduce emissions before they occur. AI technologies have the potential to change the way that product configurations are designed, manufactured, and sold, enabling businesses to offer highly personalized products to their customers faster. Mitchell, happy to have you on the show. Before we start, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Well, thanks, Karina, and thanks everyone for joining, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak. As Karina mentioned, I'm a product manager with SAP. I've been with SAP just over 25 years. Started off doing consulting, implementing our various ERP solutions, then moved into product management and solution management. And send you over the bulk of the time, as Karina mentioned, I've been engaged with the discrete manufacturers, especially in the area of industrial manufacturing. And as you can imagine, many of our customers in discrete manufacturing use some form of a product configurator. And as we've learned over the years that this provides a lot of opportunity for machine learning and AI to enhance some of these processes. So I think that's what we'll talk about a little bit today.
Right. So the purpose of this episode is to identify the needs for using AI in product configuration, where and how to start implementing AI, whether AI can lead to job loss and replacement of people, and the future of AI in the world of configurable products. So, Mitchell, what is the challenge facing manufacturers in product configuration? Why there is a need of AI?
Yep. So, I think the challenges are probably numerous, but if we hone in on those that are probably most applicable for machine learning, I think one is really around time to market for the products. Today, if you have configurable products, oftentimes you develop the product right from an engineering perspective, but that also with the configurator, models have to be developed on how it's going to be sold, what the rules are going to be, and then in some cases, creating all those rules can be time consuming. But obviously takes a lot of expertise. Product knowledge, in many cases, engineering knowledge to create those rules. So I think that can be one challenge is to, what are their ways to kind of shorten that time to market, especially when it comes to the building of the variant configurator models. Another one is many of our customers were hearing, they've done traditional configure to order for many years, but many customers, they'll want not just a standard configuration, but maybe they want some specials. So some customers refer to it as configured order plus or CTO plus or configured order with engineering specials. So you want a standard car, but maybe you need something special associated with that. And this can be a little challenging for manufacturers to deal with because now you're going. In the areas where maybe all the rules don't apply because you've never seen that requirement before. Maybe the requirement isn't very well defined in nice structured attributes. So this is one area where I think a lot of the manufacturers we've been working with, they can be a little bit challenging. Or as you shift more into the engineer to order space, it gets even a little bit more challenging because again, the traditional rules that have been built up over the years don't necessarily apply for everything, right? Because you're hearing requirements that you haven't heard before, or some specials that you haven't directly dealt with and aren't necessarily built right into your variant configurator model. So I think those would be a couple that come to mind.
Yes. Yeah, so to stay competitive on the market and provide customers in real time to their needs, to address their needs in product configuration, I assume it's required to have something quite flexible in terms of solutions. And AI and machine learning technologies right now can provide such opportunities. So I would like to continue our discussions with a reference to your blog post. We will put the link to it in the podcast description. And in this post, you talked about the importance of shifting from technical features to needs-based product selection when it comes to configurable products. Can you please explain why this shift is necessary and how AI and ML technology can help with it?
Sure. No, absolutely. So many of the manufacturers we've dealt with, and I think this is probably broadly applicable, they often come from, especially in industrial manufacturing, the manufacturers come from an engineering background. They were founded by engineers, and they've grown up as engineering and product companies, right? I think the old adage is kind of the mentality is, if you engineer the best product, it'll sell itself, right? So in the 90s, I think in the 2000s, as they started to use product configurators, it was more or less take those engineering, speak with the engineers, right? More or less codify the knowledge from the engineers and then build that into the rules, the object dependencies, the variant tables, et cetera, that are required to build out a variant configurator model. So the models tend to be very technically oriented, right? They're around the technical features of the product, right? And this is absolutely required because some of the things are, they're controlled by the physics, or the engineering of the product. And the result is, in most cases, the engineering model or the variant configurator model is really geared around ensuring that what is going to be built is first technically feasible. So, will it work? And then to some extent, can it be manufactured, right? So can we put this thing together, right? When we try and put the bearing inside, is it going to fit? Or are we going to have a bearing that doesn't fit because we picked the wrong one, right? So it's really about the technical features traditionally of the product. And then what often happens is, now when you go to sell, the variant configurators use part as part of the sales process, whether it be creating the sales order or during quotation, to ensure that what the customer is asking for, can be technically built and make sure that, when you get into the manufacturing, it's buildable. But the bit of a challenge here is, is that it can take a technical person that's inputting this information into the system, right? Because the customer might be describing their needs not in the technical terminology of the product, right? They're describing their needs into the problem that they have to solve, not the solution to it. So traditionally, you need a well-trained salesperson that can listen to the customer's needs, understand the needs, and then more or less translate that into the technical and feature functions of the variant configurator to be able to identify, okay, for this characteristic, these are the values. And so, again, this works well when you have salespeople that are well-trained because they know how to do that translation. But one of the things we're hearing now, and I think this trend has probably been going on for some time, is you have these very experienced salespeople that have been doing the job for 10 or 15, 20 years, but they potentially, as they're getting older, they're starting to retire, where they're moving on to different roles. So now they need to be replaced, and maybe you have lesser trained people that they don't necessarily know the domain, they don't necessarily know the portfolio of products of the manufacturer quite as well, right? So it can be a bit of a challenge for those sales reps. Additionally, we hear that manufacturers, when they sell in their local markets, they have all these well-trained salespeople. But if they want to move into new markets, maybe broaden internationally, into different countries, does that country have people with that domain experience? Or even if they do, what does it take to get them trained up to be able to really be experts to sell those products? So again, that can be a bit of a challenge if the level of knowledge required to sell and to, you know, to input data into the configurator is quite technical. Another trend we're seeing is, you know, this notion of, you know, historically, if you had a very much of a sales rep driven process, or maybe you're selling through your own sales reps, or maybe you have dealers and distributors. But now with the whole notion of e-commerce, right, you have this idea that, you know, can this product be sold on a commerce site? And many manufacturers do this very well with spare parts because it, you know, it's relatively straightforward. But now if you want to sell more complex configurable products on an e-commerce site, where the customer themselves are expected to be able to make those selections, then it gets even harder, right? Because the sales rep maybe is not even in the process. So now you have a customer looking at these configuration models, which are very technical, and try and figure out, okay, well, I'm looking, you know, maybe I'm a warehouse manager, and this is the example I used in the blog, and I need a fork truck to move pallets around in my warehouse. Right. So that warehouse manager knows a lot about the warehouse. They know a lot about the pallets and things like that. Maybe they don't know so much about a fork truck, but now if they come onto a website and, you know, the attributes and the configuration is really geared around the technical attributes of the fork truck, they might struggle a little bit. And then oftentimes they'll pick up the phone and call the sales rep and say, you'll help me out here. But if moving forward, the questions, if you will, that are being asked to that, say, that warehouse manager, even on the e-commerce site, can be more, what are the needs, right? How big is your warehouse? How heavy are the pallets? How wide are the aisles in your warehouse? And then let the system from there figure out, okay, what's the right fork truck? How should it be configured? So this is kind of what we're looking at in terms of the shift from the technical attributes of the product to more of the needs, the job to be done, which is really the customer or the buyer's perspective of the problem that they're trying to solve.
Yes, so it seems like a bridge between the customer wishes and needs in their language to the technical feasibility and how manufacturers can produce, what they can produce. And also I see that it's significantly streamlined all the process, starting from the design of the product, what and how customer wish to configure, to the end where you need to identify where and how to store this product and all the production line and technical standards that we can have different in different countries. Like if to compare standards in America or in Europe, they can be completely different. And also, it's an important point that you raised here also in regards of onboarding process for new employees. We can, as a customers, easily onboard new sales representatives to work with the customers without any prior deep learning about technical standards and how to configure these products. Because suggestions, predictions, different hints, they can simplify and support this process. Very insightful. So as we touched already sales process, I would like to continue. And my next question will be, some people may be skeptical of using AI technologies in the sales processes, fearing that it could replace humans. So how would you respond to this concern?
Yep. I think it's absolutely a valid concern, right? I think this has been fears we've heard over the years, you know, in different capacities, right? I think when Variant Configurators first came out, right, there was probably a fear that, you know, all the engineers were going to be replaced by Variant Configurators, right? That, you know, we'll just basically capture all their knowledge, ask them all the questions, and then put it in the rules, and then we don't need the engineers anymore, right? And I'm not sure that really came to fruition, right? But certainly the expertise or where the expertise of the engineers was needed did shift a little bit, right? So I think, you know, at least in the configurators, it came from, okay, now for every, you know, one of those hundred or thousands of orders that we get, right, the engineer doesn't have to look at every one of them, right? Like maybe they had to do in the past. So maybe let the configurator can handle those that are standard, and now the engineer gets to focus primarily on the specials or the engineer to order, right? I think we're going to see the same thing with machine learning, right? It's, you know, there are certain things that machine learning and AI is very good at. There's other things that maybe it's not best at, right? So I think a lot of it is going to be let the people that traditionally were doing some of these things shift to higher value, you know, type of focus areas. So I think what we might see is, you know, the monotonous, you know, handling all these orders, you know, again, where maybe the sales rep had to be involved to translate some of this stuff. Maybe some of that can be done with the machine learning. And then now the well-trained salespeople are really focusing on more of the engineer to order, some of the project-oriented stuff, which traditionally, at least from what we've been hearing, that's where the higher margins are anyway, right? So for your standard traditional configure to order, oftentimes it's more of a volume business, you know, with slightly tighter margins. So maybe if you don't need the sales rep involved in all of those sales cycles, right? Maybe the machine learning can help generate the quote, determine what the lead time is, determine what the best price is, maybe without the involvement of the sales rep, or maybe they just come in and validate it to make sure, at least initially, you know, that what the machine learning is predicting is feasible and is accurate. And then the salespeople can focus on, you know, those specials, right, or the engineer to order, the stuff that's just maybe too big or too, you know, too broad for the machine learning. I think if you look back to the self-driving car analogy, right? So now, you know, the automation is maybe you have advanced cruise control and it can, you know, keep a distance from other cars, but we don't have the full autonomous driving yet, right? We still rely on the driver because there's just so many different variables to deal with. And, you know, maybe the AI technology isn't quite there yet. Maybe it'll get there, but at least for now, there's certain things that people just are better at. And I think that'll probably be the same for at least the foreseeable future.
Yeah, definitely. There are still requirements for human in the loop for validation of configuration of the final results provided by ML technologies. And also, it's important that these technologies such as AI and ML, they can simplify manual, let's call it like monkey jobs that we do on a daily basis and that can be error prone. It can take a lot of time to complete the quotation, to configure a lot of items. And at the end, sales representatives, they can do their real job. They can sell. They can generate ideas how to improve sales process. They can generate ideas how to reach out more customers, new potential customers, if they have such instrument as ML and AI suggestions, recognitions inside of their solutions that they use for sales processes. Yep. All right.
Also, and just to add to that, I think that's a great point. Also, I think some of it also is being driven by the customers themselves, right? So I think the traditional sales cycle of if I, you know, and I'm an engineer and I need a pump, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call the sales rep and I'll just explain everything to them and let them figure it out. We're hearing that even the customers don't necessarily want to interact that way. You know, and I think Amazon and some of the other, you know, tools like that have kind of changed the way people want to buy. And just because you do it that way at home, when you get to work, some of those patterns can be the same. Right, so we're hearing that many, you know, engineers or whoever the buyer is, right, with a warehouse manager, whoever it happens to be, you know, they might go onto the website and they'll kind of learn as much as they can on their own. You know, they want to compare the products and, you know, do the exploration, do the research, and then maybe once they're well, you know, versed in what they need, maybe they can't fully configure it, maybe they don't know all the technical details, but when they then call up and speak to a sales rep, right, it's more, you know, help me out with these specific things, right? So I think even the way that the customer expects to engage, you know, with the sales rep or the dealer or distributor is changing. And
yeah.
I think we as software companies have to adjust to that, right? Realize that the change is happening and be able to, you know, support the customer and the manufacturer in the way they want to sell and buy.
Yes, definitely, it can be also improved. And you mentioned that these technologies right now probably are not there to work without people, like still validation is required. And my next question will be, what do you see as the future of AI and ML technologies in the world of configurable products?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So as I think I mentioned before, I think there's huge opportunities. I mean, some of it gets into, you know, we kind of break down the whole process into kind of the design time, right? This is kind of the building of the models, whether it be machine learning models or variant configurator models, right? So, and then there's the runtime, right? Which is kind of the part where the customer is interacting, they're doing the buying or they want to get the quote, right? So on the design time, I think there's opportunities to streamline some of that, right? So instead of having to do, you know, a ton of work to write all these rules, right? Are there new capabilities like generative AI where, you know, a business user can say, I want a rule that does X, Y, Z in kind of natural language, and then the system can automatically generate a rule or generate a variant table or whatever is required, kind of the technical object underneath to enable that. So I think there's certainly opportunities there. Some of the use cases we've also looked at are, you know, once the variant configurator models have been built, can we use machine learning to help validate them, right? So maybe we can train a model using the experts and then use that to validate the variant configurator models that have been built by others. So, you know, I think a lot of it can be done, you know, in helping to, you know, to build out the models, and this helps with that time to value. And then on the runtime side, you know, I think there's huge opportunities, right? This whole notion of AI-driven needs-based product configuration, right, to help you know, reduce this dependence on the well-trained salespeople, you know, to be, kind of be an AI sales assistant, if you will, with the sales rep or the dealer, the distributor. So certainly in that area. Also, you know, I think the natural thing is to think about the traditional configure to order. And there, you know, we know rules in many cases work quite well. You know, the configurators today can work very well. But when you get into the configure to order plus or the engineer to order scenarios, where, you know, that's maybe where the rules can sometimes struggle, right? Because you're dealing with scenarios and attributes that haven't been seen before. And that's really where machine learning and AI really has a strength. So I think we might see in the areas of, you know, configured order plus and ETO, you know, a lot of advancements there. And then obviously now with the whole natural language processing and ChatGPT, right? I mean, everybody's talking about this. And I, you know, I think there's huge opportunity there to, you know, really shift the way, you know, you interact not just with the configurators, but business systems in general, you know, to engage more using natural language instead of, you know, a GUI with a bunch of dropdowns, right? So, I mean, imagine if you, you maybe have a chatbot and you say, you know, give me a quote for a pump that can pump, you know, 250 gallons a minute at 50 PSI, and it's going to be outside in a marine environment. You know, recommend the best pump with the best price and tell me what the lead time is going to be. And, oh, by the way, what is the CO2 footprint, right? So I can describe it that way in natural language, and the system can interpret that and come back and say, yep, you want pump XYZ. It's going to be $3,000. The lead time is going to be 8 weeks, and, you know, and you're off. Or maybe you submit an email where you just described what it is in natural language, or you have a proposal document, right, in a PDF or whatever it is, right? You just submit that, and then the natural language can kind of tease out the technical attributes or the requirements, and then feed that into the, you know, to some form of configurator, and then, you know, give you the answer back. So I think there's lots of opportunities.
I agree. Considering how fast the technology is right now evolving and how fast user adoption is, we can see a lot of potential for technologies. And I also like that you bring here a topic of ChatGPT and how we can use in general generative AI to communicate with our quotes as a sales representatives. We can ask questions like, please provide me some examples of the best fit of product configuration for this specific customer request, or we can ask about like what is an expirational date of the quote number, something, something. So any questions can be be done in this generative AI conversations with solutions. And I definitely also see here a big potential for business processes improvement and experience of employees that are working in manufacturing industries or any industries. But coming back to real time, we just tried to predict the future and see what will happen in the future. In our days, for companies that are just started to explore the use of AI and ML, what advice would you give them?
Yep. So I think we hear that question quite often. So I'll start with the most important thing and then bring up some other ones. I think the first thing is start with the high value or the business process, the problem you're trying to solve, right? I think we oftentimes, we want to come at this from the technology. We get enamored with the technology. It's great to talk about all the ML models, all this other stuff. But unless you're really, at the end of the day, adding business value, solving a problem that really is a valuable problem to solve, it doesn't really, it's wasted effort. Right. It's really you got to be solving a valuable problem, not just proving that, you know, that the ML works. So I think the main thing is starting with the use case, making sure, one, it's a high value use case. Is it a problem that really needs to be solved? If you solve it, you know, is it a $1 million problem or is it a $2 problem? Right. And then get the right thing. And then is machine learning really the right technology to solve that? ML and AI, I don't think, is the answer for everything. Right? I think there's certain cases where a rules-based approach works better, right? It just, you know, under certain circumstances, you know, it's rules-driven. You know exactly what the response is going to be. It's been validated typically. So there are cases where rules just works better. There's going to be other cases where a person can do it better, right? So I think it's really from the use case, figure out, okay, is it worth solving the problem? And then if we solve, you know, should it be solved with AI and machine learning? Or maybe it's a combination of, you know, machine learning and AI with the rules. Right? And this is one thing we're exploring right now is to say it doesn't have to be an either or. Right? Maybe it can be a combination of the rules with the machine learning and maybe also with the people, right? I mean, imagine if you got a, you know, request for quote in, and there's, you know, certain things, and maybe the machine learning and say, yep, I think this is the recommendation I would make. But if I'm less than 80% sure, maybe I'll pass that off using workflow or whatever to the engineer and let them review it. Right. So again, I don't think it has to be either or. It can be, you know, complementary, and let the tool work where it works best, and let other tools work where they work best. So I think that's one thing. I think another is, you know, AI, it's not magic, right? I mean, it's there's a lot of technical stuff around it, but at the end of the day, it's not a magic black box. So maybe start off small, you know, kind of get your feet wet with some basic, you know, basic use cases, you will, and then grow from there. So a couple suggestions.
Yeah, your recommendations about the questions that customers who are on the journey of starting usage of AI technology in their landscape, you recommended what to ask. I definitely support you here. First of all, we need to evaluate, is it worth it? Like, implement this technology? Will we have this amount of benefits to solve our issues? We need to compare it with money that we will invest in these solutions. But what I wanted to add here also is that the literacy level of AI technologies is still in the middle level, I would say, not in advance. Not everyone understands what the solution do and how they can help with business processes. And here is a place for consultants who can help, support, and explain, try to help to evaluate how beneficial implementation of ML technology and AI can be for business processes.
Yep. And if you don't mind, if I could just build on that, because I think that's a great point. I probably should have brought something up along that before. Because I think to your point, it's not just the technology, right? Just knowing, being a data scientist or whatever, knowing a lot about, you know, the various ML models, you know, that's only part of it, right? The other part is you really have to, at least in our environment, typically, you have to understand the business the process and the problem to be solved. And then it's really the marrying of the two together, right? So I think that's the critical piece is to, you know, not just know the technology, but, you know, be able to either know it yourself or work with someone that also knows, you know, the business process, and because they're going to have to fit together. Right? Most of these, even machine learning, it's not a standalone prediction, right? You say, okay, well, I can predict the lead time or whatever, right? It's of limited value if it's by itself. How does that fit into the broader process, whether it be a configure price quote or a manufacturing process or whatever, right? It tends to be very process driven. So you have to know how it's going to fit and what system is it going to integrate with, right? Because many of these processes are going to be executed in some kind of business system, right? So even if you can generate the result, where is it going to go? Is someone going to have to then manually key that into another business system? Or is there already an integration or something where it just kind of natively flows into the broader business process? So.
Yeah, it's very important also to choose the right solutions that will fit into landscape and will smoothly integrate it with all other solutions. Yeah, you mentioned also a very valid point here. All right, so thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your insights and expertise on product configuration with AI. It was truly a pleasure to have you as our guest today, and we hope our listeners will find this conversation as informative and enjoyable as we did. As always, we are just one click away. Please contact us at Clarity Show. Thank you for listening and see you in the next episode. And don't forget to subscribe, just to make sure you don't miss us.
Thank you.